about that later.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present.
Hello and welcome to Gist Radio. We are a casual radio station where we broadcast and we have something to say. Gist stands for Getting Your Shit Together, and we broadcast important interviews and information for artists and creatives of all kinds. For more information on Gist, please log into our website at www.gyst-ink.com, where you will find free resources, software, and publications for artists. You can email us and let us know what you would like to hear about at info@gyst-ink.com. Thanks for tuning in.
Hello, this is Monica. Thank you for listening to Gist Radio. I'll be your host today. I am on the line with a wonderful woman, Kat Jimenez. She is the co-founder of the Month of Photography Los Angeles. She's the executive director of the Lucy Foundation and a photographer. She is also the founder of a virtual gallery called Edition 100. She studied photography at the Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, California, and was featured in the Smithsonian Institute and the Los Angeles Filipino American Centennial Commemoration Committee project entitled I Am Today's Filipino, Recognizing and Preserving the Stories of Individuals Making a Contribution to American Life. Kat, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Monica. I'm so happy to be here.
Absolutely. Okay, so I've done a lot of research about you, as much as I can anyway, and I'm hoping that you have a lot more information for me. I found a couple of quotes that I thought were really inspiring and really empowering about you. For example, the creative director of the Flipbook Project said that you are one of those rare breeds in the creative world. You're an accomplished photographer in your own right. You combine your inherent sense of creativity with a natural drive to action. You've never been one to sit on the sidelines or wait for things to happen. If you have an idea, an inspiration, or a goal, you can trust that Kat will find a way to bring it or all of them to life. Another one, Elliot Erwitt, who's an interview from Yellow, I know, culture blog from Smashbox. She says she's personable, she's passionate, and central in nurturing the ever-evolving LA photo community. Her well-curated events gather and inspire artists and art lovers alike. And beyond that, she's on the mission to restore economic power to artists and encourage a new generation of art collectors.
Wow. Well, I actually wanted to make a quick correction on that because you said Elliot Erwitt said that, and actually a woman named Amy Kwan said that, and Elliot Erwitt is a famous photographer who I'm actually pictured with in an image interview. So I just wanted to make that quick clarification.
Okay. Well, how do you feel about that? I mean, how do hearing these kinds of comments about you and your personal value and significance as an artist, like how does that affect what you do as a photographer, curator, collector, do-it-yourself artist?
Well, I think I have a very, very basic concept and a belief in that we should all be of service, and I think that stemming from that, it's pretty simple for me to choose the work that I do, both as an artist and especially an advocate, is that I look at that work as being of service, and if that just means I'm connecting people or I'm showcasing photography or I'm bridging people together, it's from that place that I think I'm able to take action. And I'm pretty fortunate because I've created opportunities for myself through the foundation and through Edition 100 and as a photographer to really put that notion into action.
Right, and so here's a good question. What have you always wanted to act upon but never have?
You know, it's so funny because I've been getting this question a lot lately, and
really?
I don't know if it's... I haven't, and it's always the same answer, and it's always the same conversation I've had. I'd say in the last month, it's come up a lot, and it's really quite a simple response for me, and that's I want to learn to speak Tagalog, which is the native language of the Philippines, and I was a first-generation born Filipino-American, and my family and my brothers were all born in the Philippines. and other places. And I think my parents went through something really challenging when they got here, which was the process of assimilating and acculturating. And I think that they thought it would be best if their child or their children spoke English. So there wasn't this active education in my family to learn Tagalog or speak Tagalog. I mean, my parents obviously spoke it amongst themselves, but for me, you know, they thought, okay, well, let's make sure our children have whatever it takes to succeed. And that was as a direct result of a conversation that my mother had with my brother's teachers, who were complaining to them, or not necessarily complaining, but saying that your children are speaking back in different languages to us, and I think it's really important for them to, for you to speak English at home. And so that has been a central theme for me in the last month, because people have asked me this question over and over, and I think it's pretty simple. I just want to feel even more connected to my heritage, and an obvious way to do that would be to speak Tagalog.
Right. And do you find yourself being inspired by artists who have your same cultural background or significance or focus in their artwork?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I grew up in a very culturally diverse place, the Bay Area, and I thought to myself, wow, there's all these really wonderful cultures and types of people just living on my street. And then as I grew up, I wasn't seeing that same image looking back at me necessarily in media and television. And I thought, okay, well, if I can do anything through my creative voice, which is photography, I would love to be able to meet more Filipino Americans, meet more Filipinos that are making a difference and making a contribution. And that's really why the Flipbook Project started, was because I wanted to kind of document these stories. If I wasn't going to see them necessarily on television or in the media or in film, that I would know that they existed and that I would draw inspiration from like-minded individuals like myself, not just interested in championing Filipino heritage and culture, but just interested in making a contribution.
Absolutely. And who are your favorite artists, Filipino or not, and why?
Well, I'd say for writers, a Filipino writer that I really admire is Jessica Hagedorn, and incredible poet and writer, and a revolutionary mind, really, and kind of put Filipino Americans on the literary map. And so I really admire her, and I hope to work with her one day. And if we're speaking about photographers, not Filipino-American, but just a serious heavyweight, it would be a household name, Richard Avedon. And Richard Avedon is a tremendous inspiration to me, just from the sheer simplicity and truth in the images that he created, and really inspired me to pick up a camera and to really explore that connection between a subject and to do the best in honoring them by making a truthful picture.
That's great. And how many times would you say that you've reevaluated your career as a photographer, your artist statement, your intent, your relationship with your camera?
It's interesting, because I grapple with that all the time, because I'm not necessarily just a photographer, and a lot of my time is spent really in advocacy, and that's the work I do at the foundation, and also through the work I do at Edition 100. But, in thinking about this question, I think that if I was to reevaluate, I would actually have more discipline around making images and making them more regularly, and not allowing for the other choices I make, such as work or other projects that I have, to get in the way of that discipline. And not only that, I think that I'm getting more and more drawn and intrigued by traditional processes that are now becoming alternative processes in photography, like the wet plate collodion process. And I'm very intrigued at learning that, and inspired by artists who work in that format, like Sally Mann. And so that's really next up. If I was to say, okay, what's up, what's next, I'm beelining to the wet plate process, because I would love to learn how to make negatives on glass, and I'd also love to make images that take a huge amount of effort, from the setup to the shooting to the processing to the printing. And I don't necessarily want to click any electronic buttons in the process.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So what do you love about photography? What keeps you going and in the advocacy of it?
Well, there's so many things, because I think that we need visual imagery as a society. We need it not only as a way to tell stories, but as a way to preserve memories. And that's intriguing, and it's continuing to evolve the applications to do those type of things and to preserve and document. And it's intriguing, and I'm curious all the time about how people use this type of tool to tell their stories. And in answering the advocacy, I feel like I love photography so much that I'm constantly looking at photography. I'm constantly looking to work with artists who have interesting things to say through their picture taking and their picture making. And in short, I feel like photography isn't going to go anywhere. It's such a relatively young art form that there need to be organizations and people that really champion it. And outside of just the institution, I mean, we have the internet at our fingertips and the possibilities of reaching millions of people all the time. You know, I could do this work feasibly forever and still feel satisfied that I'm celebrating photography, not just for myself as an artist, but also for all the people that choose to take up this art form.
Right. And speaking of the organizations and institutions that celebrate photography, you're involved with all of them. let's talk about the Lucy Foundation. Can you describe for our listeners like what that is, what they advocate, what they stand for?
Sure. The Lucy Foundation is a nonprofit charitable organization whose simple mission is to champion photography. And we do that through a variety of platforms. And our actual mission statement is to honor master photographers, to discover and cultivate emerging talent, and to promote the appreciation of photography worldwide. And interestingly enough, the foundation didn't give birth necessarily to these projects. It was actually the Lucy Awards that happen every year, which is likened to the Oscars of photography, that created the foundation. So we kind of went backwards. And that occurred because we were doing all of this work in New York City, even though we're LA-based, and we were realizing that, yes, the actual award ceremony is really tremendous, and it's so important to honor our practitioners and those who have given and dedicated their life to the art and craft of photography. But then that there were also this new generation of image makers that we needed to pay attention to. And so as a result, we developed these educational programs and these components that now comprise and make the Lucy Foundation's programming efforts. And those programs would be the Month of Photography LA, which is coming up this April. And we also have a scholarship program that supports photographers in finishing and or exhibiting their work, and that's a cash grant that we give every year. We also have the mentor program, which is called ePrentice, where we take advantage of the best that the internet has to offer, which is connectivity and bridging distance and geographic gaps, and putting together people to mentor and be mentored. And then we also have lecture series, we have portfolio reviews, we have Snapshop, which is actually becoming my favorite program right now, and that's a 4-Saturday workshop for inner-city high school kids that are recruited directly through the referral of their teachers, that they show promise and they show talent in the area of photography but may not have access to hands-on instruction and workshops, and we offer this 4-Saturday workshop during the Month of Photography LA, and it culminates in the exhibition of the student work that's created and is also the official closing night of the Month of Photography LA.
That is fantastic.
Yes, I'm very excited about all of these programs, but Snapshot in particular.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you keep mentioning the Month of Photography LA and the new, you know, showcase coming out in April 2011. So what's the theme? How is it manifesting? What does it mean this year?
Well, every year we try to pick a theme. I think the first year we just simply were introducing the concept of the Month of Photography LA, so we didn't necessarily introduce a theme, but last year it was the 160th anniversary, or actually the 160th year of Los Angeles being incorporated as a city, so we decided to showcase 160 photographers, and in that endeavor we ended up showing 200-plus photographers, which was really exciting. And this year we're exploring the concept of the current landscape of photography through a theme, adaptations and reverberations. what that really means is how photography is continuing to evolve, how it's adapting with all these new technologies, and how it's also surviving in terms of traditional processes. And we'll examine that through projections and exhibitions, discussions and events, and really also injecting the notion of sound and music into this year's theme, and that'll translate into curated oral experience at most of our events. And we're collaborating with a lot of local musicians and DJs and people who love music to really create a more dynamic experience for the attendee.
Great. All right, well, then let's talk about your 100 edition.
Okay.
Edition 100.
Edition 100.
Right. The edition 100.
Or it could be that as well.
Yeah. Where did that idea come from?
You know, I keep touching upon technology and how it's affecting us now, and I think that I started seeing opportunities in making art more affordable, and I was very, very inspired by Jen Beckman's 20 by 200 project, and I thought, okay, that's genius, because there are so many artists that want to not necessarily just sell work, but also have an opportunity to be presented through different platforms in the traditional gallery sense. And so I really looked at 20 by 200 as this innovative idea that could really make art more affordable, make it accessible, but also learn more about artists that are making great art. And so I was inspired, and Edition 100 is a direct manifestation of that, but it's also me having had this desire to operate a gallery or curate on some level, and this being the perfect way to do so without the overhead, really. And it's, the internet is so experimental, and there's so many ways that you can advance your ideas and thoughts. And I thought, well, an online gallery, that's pretty simple. And I get to work with curators, and I get to work with artists that I've really admired. And so it's twofold. It's about, you know, continuing to allow artists to have a global reach. It's also allowing artists to sell work to more people that want to collect it. And it's making, you know, art more, not necessarily more affordable, but certainly more accessible. And it was really born out of this desire to collect as well. I mean, I'm surrounded by images and art all day long through my work, and I thought, I really want to buy more art than I can actually afford. And so this was also an opportunity for me to work with people that I really admire and would love to purchase, but may not necessarily be able to purchase that a traditional gallery price point or a traditional institution price point. So I thought an opportunity to collect was available through Edition 100, an opportunity to give back, since Edition 100 gives 10% of each artist's proceeds sale to a charity of their choice. So we get to learn about what's important to the artist and through their charity selection. And an opportunity to really create a new realm of collectors. There's so many young people now that really get the value of art. And yes, art doesn't always have to be expensive for it to have value. And we're seeing that really through the success of some of the prints starting to sell out. And we've only been online for 6 months and had 3 online shows. And it's just tremendous in terms of the feedback and the amount of attention that we're getting. So I'm really excited, because that clearly shows that there's a desire for affordable collectible art.
Absolutely. And as a young girl, did you collect art? Did you know that you were going to be a photographer?
You know, it's so funny, because I used to collect magazines, because that was a tangible form and an affordable form of collecting. So when I was, you know, 14, 15, 16, and even before that, I used to beg my mom to buy me magazines. So I was collecting things at a very young age, but I started to collect magazines like Zoom and PDN when I was growing up in my teenage years, because I thought those were real, you know, pieces of art and information that I didn't want to let go. So it's like I have boxes and boxes of magazines from the 1980s that I can't bear to throw away, but I kind of feel like, okay, maybe that's where it started, but at the same time, I just couldn't imagine throwing away a magazine that had beautiful pictures in it. So, you know, maybe that this is another manifestation of that idea of wanting to treasure things that I value.
And I read somewhere that you value the work of Herman Leonard. Can you talk to me about his black and white photography, which are beautiful?
I do. Wow, that there's such a great story behind discovering his work. Actually, first started taking photographs in high school. My mom gave me a Nikon 35mm film camera, and I just started taking pictures of all my friends. I just was enamored by the idea of being able to click a shutter, and then a couple hours later, develop the film, and then a couple hours later, make photographs in the darkroom. And I was really inspired and by that, and I was encouraged by a high school instructor that, you know, thought that I had some talent. And so she really encouraged me to make photographs. And even at that time, we were all wet process in the darkroom, and we were the high school was transitioning its darkroom, so there were all these extra enlargers available, and she let me take some home. And so I actually put a darkroom in my parents' I guess it would be laundry room, and that was very, very sweet of them. But long story short, I, at the time, had a boyfriend who was very much into jazz and very much into being a photographer, so he was also another inspiration along my path. But he introduced me to the work of Herman Leonard through the music of Chet Baker, and when we were listening to Chet Baker, he was showing me photographs of Chet Baker by Herman Leonard. And that's how I first saw his work. And then I was very, very fortunate in my work through the foundation to be able to get to know him and to work with him directly, because he was honored in 2008 with the Lucy Award for his work in jazz photography. So his images are unlike any other. He captured a generation of jazz musicians, and he captured the era of jazz, and he did it in such a poetic and graceful and musical way that really made the images and the sound that these images and that these musicians were making in these images come to life, and in such a visceral way. And if you've seen one Herman mm-hmm. Leonard image, you can identify it. It's these rich black and whites and these smoky jazz scenes of, you know, musicians with cigarettes hanging out of their lips and just well-dressed, dapper men and women singing and performing. And, he was very fortunate to be embraced by the jazz community, and there were very few photographers that got the access that he had. And you can really see that trust in the images that he created.
Absolutely. So, Kat, I have a question.
Sure.
If you weren't a photographer and you didn't see the world the way that you see it, and all of the skills and talents that you've acquired till now you did not have, what would you be doing? What would you care about?
You know, I think I would probably be working on a farm. Interestingly enough, I'm really interested in raising fruits and vegetables, and I'm certain of this, and I'm pretty sure that that's in my near future, and just really getting back to the simple things in life, and the idea of putting something in the ground and then 6 months later eating it, and that sustaining life, and that's that kind of cycle of life. And if you would have asked me this 2 years ago, I certainly would not have said that.
What would you have said?
If I wasn't, I would probably say that I would have loved to have been an acupuncturist, or that I would somehow have been connected to music. I always tease my friends because I said, I'm sure I have something to do with needles in my past life, whether that's being a DJ. Now they don't actually use needles, but, you know, they have technology and serratos and whatnot. But I'm sure I was either a DJ or an acupuncturist in a past life. and I've actually felt that way pretty strongly, but recently I've really become to feel passionate and understand the value of growing your own food, and especially with all the crazy stuff that goes into food now, just the simplicity of growing things. And you know, I'm sure that's so connected already to the work that I do through the foundation. It's just in a different process, you know, that's planting and growing, but we're doing the same thing at the foundation by, you know, hopefully planting seeds in young people's brains about making images and shaping the way they see the world. So, you know, maybe I'm cheating a little bit with the answer, but I do feel like somehow I'm going to be gardening soon. I don't know why.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
So, Kat, do you have children?
I don't have children. I would love to have children. And circling back to the answer you just asked me is I think that I was very inspired by my mother who herself had a sustainable farm. And she built a bed and breakfast and a compound in the Philippines on the same plot of land where she was raised. And I got to kind of witness the evolution of her going back home, you know, reconnecting with people that she left when she was small, taking care of her father until he passed away, and then building a new life for herself on the same plot of land. And what that encompassed was raising pigs and goats and chickens and fruits and vegetables. And I really got that. That was really not this special, but that was so fulfilling for her. And then when I got to see and taste and reap the benefits of her efforts, it was really a simple way of being, period. But I was also completely blown away at how the basics and getting back to those things, like working on the land and tilling the earth and growing things and dealing with Mother Nature and typhoons and monsoons and still going back out there and rebuilding, et cetera, that's such a phenomenal way of existing. And we're so detached from that, living in fast-paced societies and fast-paced cities. And so I'm speaking passionately about that because I'm sure that I'm deeply connected and I'm going to be deeply rooted somehow in that kind of being.
Right, and what kind of being will you pass on to your children?
You know, I think I would love to instill the notion of being a good person and being kind to people and doing things simply because it brings you joy, not because it brings you some sort of recognition or acknowledgement, and pursuing whatever they feel passionate about. And I think those are the basics in life, and if you can get there halfway through your life or even at the end of your life like my mother did, I think that you've done a good job. And I think, you know, the basic tenets for me would just be to be kind and to be compassionate and to be passionate.
Right. And are you doing everything that you want to do right now in your life besides planning what you're going to grow?
Yeah, I feel like I am. I feel like I could make a few more images here and there, but I definitely feel like I'm spending my time well and I'm spending it the way I choose to, and it feels right. It feels synchronized and it feels synergized with what I believe in.
That's great. Okay, silly questions. You ready?
Yeah.
Three words to describe yourself in the morning.
In the morning? Froggy. excited and grateful.
What is the biggest item in your refrigerator?
Cabbage. Cabbage. I was just at the farmer's market yesterday, and I bought three different types of cabbage. So I'd go with purple, Napa, and Savoy.
And what do you plan on making?
You know, cabbage is a staple for me, so either it's just going into a raw salad or it's going into a sautéed greens dish over some brown rice or some eggs.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
How many pairs of shoes do you own?
I don't know. However, I could say that it's probably under 40.
Under 40?
Under 40, and because I purge yearly. So So whatever shoes I'm not using, I actually get them over to the Philippines, if it makes sense.
Yeah.
For them to use them, yeah.
Okay. Is there any artist, friend, or peer that you know by face and name, have shook their hand, but you don't know them, but you really want to know them better?
Wow, gosh, that just, there's like literally like a typing sound going off in my head right now, and I can hear all the different people that I'd love to get to know better. I would say recently we had the honor of paying tribute to the Mexican artist and photographer Graciela Iturbide, and she's been on my list of those who have greatly inspired me, and I feel like I would love to get to know her better, and I hope to get to know her better in the years to come.
Absolutely. So have there been instances where people recognize you in public or at a gallery opening or at an award show? What are like the most annoying things that someone can do to get your attention, to make them more likely to get a phone call, or that you will remember their business card?
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Well, I have to say I don't get recognized often. A lot of my work, and most of my work, is very much behind the scenes, and occasionally I will step on stage at the Lucy Awards. So, but, you know, I would have to say the one thing over and over that I tell people, and this really genuinely works, and it is absolutely irritating, is persistence. I it's like equally annoying and equally admiring, and for some reason the people that are very persistent are the people that manage to enter my peripheral vision, and once that occurs, I feel committed. So persistence.
Right. And what should someone ask you in an elevator?
That's funny. I don't know. Do you have any water?
They should ask you for water?
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought, okay, my head instantly went to it's dry air in an elevator. If we get stuck in here, do you have any water?
That's great. They would have to be really brilliant and witty. Well, now everyone is going to know what to ask you. Or if you have any fruit.
Right, exactly.
What is your favorite fruit?
Oh, it's seasonal, so I'd have to say persimmons, Japanese persimmons in the fall, and mangoes in the summer.
Oh, that's beautiful. So what kinds of talents? I see this here. Someone's asked you this before. You talk about making three-point shots from the right side of a basketball hoop.
Yeah, it's a freaky phenomenon, but I have friends that can attest to this. But yes, I can on only the right hand side for some reason make countless three pointers from that side only. It's the strangest thing.
So, are you a in life do sports kind of person, or are you like a Wii Fit Connect person?
You know, it's funny. I grew up playing softball. I loved playing softball, and I thank my parents so much for getting me involved in sports, because I feel like sports or any type of team effort is such a great way to not only become socialized, but also to learn the value of doing your best and not playing to win, but doing your best. And so I played softball up until my college years and loved it. So I got this crazy competitive drive from playing softball all that time, but I also just learned how to be a team player, and I think those are such important skills when you're growing up and when you're activating your adulthood.
And especially as an artist, when you're collaborating and sharing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that's part of the process. I think what brings me a lot of joy in the work that I do is the sheer collaborative effort, is that notion of working with somebody towards a mutual goal or a common goal or even unspoken goals, and attaining that goal. There's something to be said about the collaborative effort. The process in and of itself is extremely rewarding for me personally.
Right. And what collaboration are you most proud of?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. Jeez.
You have to pick one.
Okay, hold on. I have to think about this because I want to make sure that it's my most memorable. Geez, there's really so many to count. But I would have to say that in the grander scheme of things, I feel like the Month of Photography LA and collaborating with the co-founder, Hossein Farmani, has been a phenomenal experience for me. And we're just in its infancy when you think about the fact that we're just 3 years old and we're really just babies in terms of producing and presenting a month-long photography festival, that we have so much to do and so much to learn, but that in and of itself, I think this collaboration to date is most meaningful for me because I'm learning so much and I feel challenged and inspired every day by it. And I feel like having those type of feelings towards a project are what keep it moving forward.
And so what keeps you moving forward personally?
The idea that I'm being a creative person and that I'm giving back on some level and I'm being a good human being and I'm connecting to people through the work I do, that keeps me going.
And how can people, this is time for you to plug, how can people connect with you and your professional endeavors, the Lucy Foundation, Edition 100, the Flipbook Project, everything you do? Time for websites and email addresses.
Okay, all right. So the Lucy Foundation is simple, lucyfoundation.org, L-U-C-I-E, foundation.org. If they want to learn more about the Month of Photography LA and get involved or get hip to the programming, it's monthofphotography.com, monthofphotography.com. If people want to learn about Edition 100, they can go to edition100.com and see great but affordable art there. And the Flipbook Project is, what can I say? It's Flipbook Project. It's exactly what it sounds like. And you can learn a little bit more about a project I've been working on with Gloria Galang for 6+ years around celebration and documentation of stories of Filipino Americans. And that's coming up on its 10-year anniversary in the year 2012. And we'll be publishing and exhibiting a lot of the portraits and a lot of the stories we've documented that year.
That's wonderful. Kat, you are lovely.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
Absolutely. And everyone listening, you guys can tune in on iTunes. Just type in Just Inc. You can tune in on Blog Talk Radio /Just Radio. You can find us on Facebook, typing in Just Radio. Kat Jimenez, has been such a pleasure. I will follow up with you later so that you can link this to the whole world.
Thank you.
And
I love what you guys do. I absolutely love what you do and what your founder has managed to do as a creative person. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Have a good rest of the Memorial Day, President's Day.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
And that concludes our interview here with Kat Jimenez on Just Radio. Tune in next week or very soon in the next couple of days for some more interviews, some more information, some more do-it-yourself art, and let's get our shit together.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present
Hello and welcome to Just Radio. We are a casual radio station where we broadcast when we have something to say. Just stands for getting the shit together, and we broadcast important interviews and information for artists and creatives of all kinds. For more information on Just, please log into our website at www.gyst-ink.com, where you will find free resources, software, and publications for artists. You can email us and let us know what you would like to hear about at info@gyst-ink.com. Thanks for tuning in.
Okay, so then I clicked end show now because we have 5 minutes.